So the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, continuing our classes on sadhana bhakti. This is the first division, eastern division, Purva Vibhag, chapter 2. These are the basic limbs of devotion. This is 54th limb. Rupa Goswami has been talking about seva, different types of service. Well, we've discussed about tidinam, sevanam, service of things related to the Lord, offering articles dear to oneself. These are all the basic principles of devotion to develop the personal concept, to soften the heart and help us appreciate the murti at the, of course, sadhana bhakti at the level of vaidhi sadhana. And when he was saying tadinam, he was saying sevanam. It was a very interesting discussion we were having yesterday. When he discusses that, the whole discussion was about tulsi. He cited two verses from Skanda Puran. This is a review from yesterday. All about the glories of tulsi, seeing tulsi, touching tulsi, how auspicious and beneficial it is. And the whole idea is to appreciate that Krishna and Krishna's, anything to connect with Krishna, because tadinam sevanam, like the verse from Bhagavatam, Vishnuradhanam Sarvesham, tadinam samarchanam, we heard that verse, tadinam samarchanam, things that are connected with Krishna, tadiya, are samarchan. They're worshipable. They're venerable objects. But when he discusses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says the same thing, tadinam sevanam. Then he says, tulsi. He just stops there. He doesn't give other examples and two verses. So this indicates the supreme position of tulsi among all tadiya, of all tadiya, because tadiya means places, it means objects related to Krishna, his clothing, his throne, his singhasan, the mandir, so many, includes many things. But Rupa Goswami wants to emphasize the unique position of tulsi, because as vaidhi sadhakas, tulsi plays a key role in our bhajan. And as raganuga sadhanas, and also as perfected devotees, her form is Brindadevi. Brindadevi is an essential character in the lila. And everyone at all mandiris, they have some interaction, quite a bit of interaction with Brindadevi. And of course, in the different sevas that mandiris do, this is one of the services that they do, arrange to bring the divine couple together, and arrangements, carrying love letters back and forth, and all the sevas are described. So we see how much Prabhupada emphasized tulsi worship, especially around the world. You know, in faraway places like Vancouver, or, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, where there's snow on the ground, and it's so horrible place. They have these elaborate greenhouses and tulsi worship everywhere in Russia. So we it was driven in our mind that tulsi is important. And then we see that we approach tulsi in the beginning, and we have this prayer that shows us, yes, this is tulsi as a plant, as an essential element of Krishna's puja, Krishna's worship, tulsi leaves, tulsi mandris, and his garlands. And then when we're praying to her, it's like the dual sarup concept, Rupa Mandri, Rupa Goswami. Seva sadhaka rupena, siddha rupena chatrihi. We have our sadhaka rupa and we have our siddha rupa. So the form that tulsi is appearing to us and we can relate to her and get her mercy is by, quote unquote, a plant. We say a plant, tulsi plant. But Rupa Goswami says, tadiyanam sevanam. She's Krishna tadiya. She's so much transcendentally related to Krishna, like his part and parcel. And we're praying to her. We're praying to her that I want to become Sakhi Anugatya. And right from day one, we're praying. It's like, and if we think about it, it means that we have to understand that she must have also dual sarup. That, of course, I didn't know, I don't think I knew when I joined ISKCON that Tulsi Devi is also Brinda Devi. I don't know how nowadays everybody knows everything. Like, these subjects are quite well known because of the information. But we're praying to her like that, that we want to enter the Leela, have a darshan, have a place, have a sevastali in Vrindavan. Please grant me some sevastali. Please arrange for my anugatya in the Sakhi anugatya. And may I be absorbed and meditate in the Leela. And then again, we'll meet Vrindadevi again, our old friend. Tulsi will become our intimate confidant at the level of Siddha. So he mentioned this, Rupa Goswami. So now he's saying seva, again he's saying seva to scriptures. This is the 54th limb of devotion. So Well, one point I wanted to mention, I put a note here I didn't see, because in his verse he quoted from Skanda Puran about Tidinam Sevanam in relation to Tulsi, he says, those who worship auspicious Tulsi daily by nine processes, very interesting, there's nine processes to worship Tulsi. This Navavida says, Navada, Navada Tulsim Devim Ye Bhajanti Dine Dine. So it's Tulsi Bhajan. It's very interesting. Dine Dine, day after day, Tulsi Bhajan. Navada, like we say, Navada Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Archanam Vandanam. There's nine limbs, everyone knows. It says Navada Bhakti. So this is Navada Tulsi Devi Bhajan. It's kind of fun. I mean, Bhana Maharaj, he made this book available with the Sanskrit. And I was saying yesterday that our Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami, his intention was to bring this book out in verse-by-verse form, which you see in the Back to Godhead magazines, 1944. The archives, they printed some of those. He had a verse-by-verse. He started Chaitanya Charitamrita verse-by-verse, Bengali, word-for-word meaning, way back then, in 45 or 44. And then also Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he described, very long purport, he describes Anyabhilashita Shunyam, which is in the Mangalacharana, on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which sets the actual, it's like the Paribhasa Sutra, it's the essential verse which the whole book hangs on or develops from that. So Prabhupada presented that, but somehow or other it ended up being a summary study. So here he's saying, Navada Tulsim Devim, there's nine bhajan, there's nine ways to serve Tulsi. Seeing Tulsi, touching Tulsi, meditating on Tulsi, it's very interesting. It's like, sounds like Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Seeing Tulsi, touching Tulsi, and we have to think, because we're all so busy and we're so preoccupied, and we do most maybe deeper or more advanced limbs of just Smaran or whatever. But we should, as Rupa Goswami saying, we should see Tulsi. Oh, most of us see Tulsi, and maybe we don't touch. We should touch Tulsi, meditate on Tulsi, glorify Tulsi, offer obeisances, praise her, planting her, serving and worshiping her. If someone does that, then it says Vasanti Hare Grihe, Vasa, like Brajvas, Hari Griha, in the house of Hari. One lives in the home of Hari. Tulsi grants that benediction. So the one point I wanted to mention is says planting. So in one commentary, another commentary I have, Nectar Devotion, it describes planting means, planting Tulsi includes picking mandris and leaves for the seva of Sri Krishna. Because interestingly enough, in this list of nine Tulsi Devi Bhajan, Navada Tulsi Devi Bhajan, nine forms of worshipping Tulsi from Skanda Purana, it doesn't say picking the mandris or leaves. It says seeing, touching. But so that's an important point, because if we only go by the Skanda Purana, then we'll never pick the mandris or leaves. But in the Pancharatrika literature that tell us about deity worship, then they advise us to pick the leaves and whatnot. So today is service to scriptures. Shastra matra samakyatam yad bhakti pratipadakam. So scriptures, this is the principle, shastrasya, 54th. So this means, scripture means, or shastra here, refers to those scriptures which present bhakti. Because as you know, there's karmakanda, and gyanakanda, and upasanakanda. So in the whole Vedic literature, there's very few books, actually, in the totality, aside from Gaudiya Granthas. There's very few books of the original Upanishads and Puranas and Shrutis that describe bhakti. It's mostly karmakanda and gyanakanda. So he's specifying that our reading should be within this realm, bhakti. This will become a limb of devotion. Sometimes we can read very far afield, because the Vedic literature is very interesting to read. Garuda Puran and Padma Puran and other scriptures, and our service may necessitate that we read far afield. But in general, for the majority of devotees, if we study the books of the Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and commentaries on those books by our guardians in our parampara, that would be sufficient. But some of us aren't satisfied with that, so we'd like to read. And that's what Srinivasacharya tried to point out to all of us as a speciality, or a gun, vishesh gun, a special quality of the six Goswamis, is that they did it all for us, but we're very impulsive. At least Western people, we're generally very impulsive, and we want to swallow the world and as much as possible read everything and understand everything. But Srinivasacharya said, look, the six Goswamis have already done it all. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipanosa Dharma Samstapako. Nana Shastra Vichara. All the different shastras, various shastras, they consider them. They read. You see, if you look at all the Goswami books, it's very interesting, and you look in the back, references, and you'll find maybe one or two quotes from Garga Samhita. And Rupa Goswami is Rasacharya. And Garga Samhita, now it's in English, or it's been in English for a while, I guess, Kushakrata or whatever. And everyone gets all spun out with Garga Samhita, and you know, especially story of cursing Tulsi, and they get confused and all these things. Because at Garga Samhita, there's different Radha and Krishnas, and that's told in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's the Aishwarya Radha and Krishna, and the outer Golok, and the inner Braja Golok, which we worship, is the Antaranga Radha and Krishna, the Madhurya Radha and Krishna. And there's no cursing and all these kind of things. So the Goswamis are very careful to read all these various Vedic literatures and then bring the essence, the bhakti sara, the essence of devotion. And you can imagine if a Gaudiya Vaishnava was a master, they actually realized and mastered the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Goswami Granths, I think that would be enough to be perfectly situated in pure bhakti, and all the while cultivating pure nam and good association. What need is there for the Padma Puran, Skanda Puran, etc.? Because if you read all, what do you read here in bhakti? What are we reading in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? It's simply a collection of quotations strung together by verses of the author, and then Jiva Goswami's commentaries, which were asked. He was asked by Rupa to comment. So this is Bhakti Shastras, and then he, as per his standard or preaching standard in general, you make a point, then you support it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita makes a point. Of course, his points are perfect, but he makes a point of philosophy in Bengali. And then he supports it and explains it by citing Praman from Bhagavatam or Puranas or sometimes Govinda Lilamrita or whatever, different scriptures. So this is, he cites from Skanda Puran. Vaishnavani tu shastrani ye shinvanti patanti cha danyascha manavaloke tesham krishna prasidati. Vaishnavani tu shastrani yercha yanti grihe naraha sarva papa vinir mukta Bhavanti Saravanditaha Tishtate Vaishnam Shastram Nikitam Yasya Mandire Tatra Narayana Deva Swayam Vasati Narada. O Narad, fortunate are those people in this world who hear and read the Vaishnava scriptures. Krishna is pleased with them. Those who worship the Vaishnava scriptures in their houses become free of all sins and are praised by the devatas. The Supreme Lord Narayana himself lives in the house wherein the written Vaishnava scriptures have appeared. Oh, a lot of us have heard this, and after we've been around in Krishna consciousness, especially involved with selling Bhagavatams and books, sets of books, if we just simply keep the Bhagavatam in our house, it's like Lord Narayan is there. We just dust off the books and keep them nicely situated and clean. That's worship of Narayan. So here's the support for it. That it says, Tishtate Vaishnam Shastram Likitam Yasya Mandire Tatra Narayano Deva Swayam Vasati Narada. He says Deva Swayam Vasati Narada, that Narayan is Swayam, he's personally Vas, he's personally living. Your house becomes a Mandir, Shastra Mandir. The house becomes, like often Prabhupada, when he was in LA, we were there, he went to tour the BBT, the warehouse. And he said, these books are our deities. And this warehouse is like the deity room, the BBT warehouse. It's very nicely organized, very long, big warehouse. He said, these books are like our deities. Because it's Krishna Sarup. And Bhagavatam is Prem Sarup of Radha and Krishna. So he's just mentioning here to remind us of how valuable the Bhagavatam and the Vaishnava scriptures are. So service, so in this verse he's saying this is service, so just keeping them at home, those who worship the Vaishnava scriptures, So one commentary I have, what does it mean, service? You mean it means to hear the scriptures? Because we don't want to have a passive relationship with the scriptures, passive. We collect lots of books but never read them. Because even in the beginning, Prabhupada would ask his disciples, so you're distributing my books. Have you read the book? What is in the book? Like Srila Narayan Raj has so many books, many, many books in English, and maybe too many to keep up with. And they're all very helpful. And then he may meet you and say, you have my books? Yes, Maharaj, I have your books. Have you read the books? Oh, I'm very busy, you know. But just read Jiva Dharma, that will keep us busy for a long time, trying to clearly understand it and realize it. So hearing services, Shastra Sevanam, means hearing them, studying them, teaching them, and distributing them, all these things. So this means active relationship, not passive, not simply looking at them or thinking about, oh yeah, I should read that. Yeah, I have to read that sometime on my vacation. But it's a regular thing. It should be a very active relationship that we have with Shastras. Tatrashi Bhagavate Dwadashe. This he quotes from the 12th canto, Service to the Scriptures, another reference. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam chapter called Bhagavat Mahatmyam. There are different Mahatmyams and different Puranas. It is one of the actual features of a Puran. Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, Vishnu Puran, Bhagavat Puran. They have to have certain elements or certain characteristics to make them a Puran. And one of the characteristics of a Puran is it has chapters called Mahima, glorification chapters. Mahima Adhyaya. Adhyaya means chapter. Adhyaya. So the Mahima, so they'll have Tulsi Mahatmyam, they'll have Bhagavat Mahatmyam, one is in Skanda Puran is called Purushottam Mahatmyam. And that's all about the glories of Jagannath Puri. Maybe we've seen in different articles they quote. I saw some articles in English about Jagannath Puri, and they were saying, quoting Skanda Puran, Purushottam Mahatmyam, because it's called Purushottam Kshetra. Jagannath Puri is called Sri Kshetra, Vipralamba Kshetra, all these different names that it has. Or Shank Kshetra, shaped like a conch shell. The outline of the different border places in Puri Dham are shaped like a conch shell, just like the transcendental aerial view of Braj Mandal is a Padma, a lotus, the lotus of Braj. I had a question. It'd be interesting if you could ask some of your learned people there. But a question came to my mind, and I haven't really sought the answer, but it's just floating in my mind, and I haven't sought to senior people to answer this. But it's just, maybe you can keep this in mind, Mama Chabrabhu or someone. It's described that Braj Mandal is a lotus. Everyone knows about the lotus of Braj. And sometimes it opens and closes and becomes larger distances or shorter. This is quite known. So now, Puri Dham is shaped like a conch shell. So these are two of the symbols. The Padma and the Shankh are two of the symbols of Vishnu. So now I'm thinking there's two left. One is the chakra and then the gada. Gada and chakra. The club, gada, gadadgraja. And then there's the chakra. So we have Nityananda's birthplace, Eka Chakra. Mm-hmm. I think maybe many of you have been there. West Bengal, Eka Chakra. And that's called Eka Chakra. So is that the chakra of the four? Is that the third of the four? Then the club, which is the club wala, which in Kurukshetra, if you look at Kurukshetra from the transcendental topography, it's shaped like a club because there's so much beating and club fighting and, you know, it's a Kshatriya's place, you know, the Battle of Kurukshetra. This is I'm surmising this, I'm guessing this, so I don't know. But it was an interesting twick in my brain. I thought that, well, if this is, we're living in this lotus flower, and Puri is a shank, and then Mayapur is also lotus flower. It's also, Navadvipa is also lotus, the same. And Eka Chakra, I'm not sure. I don't remember hearing, other than, I heard things like when Krishna, long ago, when he threw his chakra to kill the alligator that was eating Gajendra, the chakra landed there. That's one thing that's told by the people there. So it's called Eka Chakra, and different things. And then also they say the wheel, when Krishna was attacking or defending Arjuna in Kurukshetra, the wheel, the chariot wheel, when he threw it, it landed in Eka Chakra. You know, it's like this. I maybe have heard these things. This question maybe you can ask of any other dham. They may think I'm cracked or something. But what the mind just goes, oh, like these questions. You know. It's not relevant to our bhajan, or, but it's just an interesting point about the Lord's, you know. Or even a better question is, why aren't all the holy dhams shaped like lotuses? Or why is it shaped like a conch because it's on the ocean? Or who can say? Anyway, so the point is, this particular verse from 12th Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 13, this is called the Bhagavat Mahatmyam. So the Purushottam Mahatmyam glorifies Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham. So Padma Prana has the Bhagavat Mahatmyam, which is in English, that one chapter. Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadra Samrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syadrati Kwachit. This is in the Bhagavat Mahatmyam, where Vyasadeva is glorifying the actual book. The Srimad Bhagavatam is declared as the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarine mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. So this is, in one sense, a shruti phal, or a blessing from the author, Vyasadeva. He's declaring, and someone might say that this is boastful, that you write a book and say this is the greatest of all books. Something like Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda, he's saying anyone who's poetically minded will appreciate that you'll find the best expression of poetry here. so that's because you know Krishna's touch is there, and to certify that, Krishna even wrote one line, Dehi Padapallava Mudaramatapam. So that means that he was in touch with Krishna with every word and the scene, the Leela. So it's definitely a divinely inspired work. So he's saying, Sarva Vedanta Saram. It's the essence of all. It's the conclusion of the Vedas, and it's the essence of all Vedanta. Because we accept that as a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate says, Rasa Amrita Triptasya. This is Amrit. It's full of Ras. There's a Rasa Shastra. Triptasya means we feel satisfaction. Anyatra, anyata, like anyata, no other. Rati, if you taste this nectar, let's say if we taste the nectar of Bhagavatam, then we'll lose all rati, attachment for other literatures. This is what he's saying. If one who has felt the satisfaction from the rasa amrita, he will never be attracted to any other literature. So when one comes across a verse like this, in his reading of the Bhagavatam, or reading of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a couple of things happen. One thing is, he may think, well, that sounds very nice, that I'll lose my attraction to all their literature. Because some of us, we may have attraction to other literature, even commonplace literature, magazines, Gramyakata, newspapers, etc. Or nowadays, it transforms into Yahoo News, or web news, and you can't even avoid it. I mean, you want to go look at your mail or something, and they jam some news in your eyeballs and try to entice you more. They put more on your, more. they gave you some thumbnail summary of the news. Man chops head off his wife. Read more. And every husband thinks, yeah, I'll read more. That sounds good. And all we want to do is open our mail and see if Gurudev replied to our letter that we sent Gurudev. And then we end up reading more about the chopped head program. So this is Maya's trick, because she's testing us, you know, where our taste is. Our taste is always being tested. This is the speciality of this world. Our taste, our ruchi is always being tested. Is it high quality or low quality? Or mixed? Little of both. According to our purchasing power, we buy a different taste. So this Bhagavatam, when we read, we respond and say, yes, I, Vyasadeva, I believe what you say. I believe that the Bhagavatam is the essence, is the sara, the Vedanta sara. I'm not so much interested in reading Vedanta Sutra, although we should have some familiarity with it. But I'm satisfied reading the Bhagavatam. But I can't say that I have non-anyatra rati. I can't say that I don't have any other attachment or attraction to other literatures. So yesterday there's some defect in me. So you have to give me some special mercy. Because you're saying that the book that you wrote is the be-all and the end-all of all literature. It is the sar. It is the essence. What more is this? Why settle for less? When you can get the best, right? In advertising, they say, why settle for the less when you can get the best? So this is a type of Sanskrit advertising. Vedavyasa's advertising. He's saying, this is it, man. Or let's say, devotees. Sarvavedanta Sara. This is the Sarvavedanta Sara. This is the essence of the essence. Everyone is essence. They say Prema Ruksha. We're essence. We're seeking the Prema, the happiness, the essence of life. This is it. And then we say, okay, you're saying this is the essence. So if it's the essence, well, if I get that essence, what will happen? The next verse he says, this is what will happen. Or what is that essence? Sarvavedanta Saram hi. The Sar, the essence of all Vedanta, what is it? Is it only Gyan? Is that the essence of all Vedanta? Is it only Atma Gyan or Atma Tattva Gyan or Brahma Gyan or Advaya Gyan? Is that the essence of Vedanta? Because it can be, you can end up with that. Studying Vedanta, and that's what Mayavadis do. They study Vedanta and they derive Brahma Gyan, Advaya Gyan. They merge Brahma Sayuja. This is their idea. But he's saying, no, this is the essence. This is not just Vedanta. This is the essence of Vedanta. The essence of Vedanta is bhakti, prema, rasa. This is the higher thing. So if someone settles for Brahma Gyan or Advaya Gyan, then he gets contacted Vedanta and he has some realization of Vedanta. Brahmati paramatmati bhagavanati shavyate. But he's on the first level, brahmati. So he's saying, this is ras. This Vedanta, this gives a full taste, rasamrita, triptasya. It's tasty, it's satisfying, it's devotion. It is the actual very thing that we're searching for. As Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Devi used to say, that everyone's searching for beauty, charm, and sweetness. In essence, love. These are attributes of the One. The One is love. And what is love? Love is beautiful. Love has charm, and love is sweet. This is Krishna. This is, like, we've heard this a million times. Very beautifully, poetically presented the Gaudiya Siddhanta through the lotus lips of Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Devi Goswami. So this verse is saying, this scripture, okay, we talked about Shastriya, Shastra Sevanam. Then he quotes a verse in Skanda Puran. Yes, all the Vaishnava Shastras are very important. We should worship them, keep them at home, read them, serve them. And then, okay, now let's take it one step higher. And all those Vaishnava scriptures, what is the best? Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you know, he's dropping hints all along here, and then he gets to the Panchanga Bhakti, where he says, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. Again, of the Panchanga Bhakti, the most important thing is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam Saha in association or with Rasik Vaishnavas. So again, we'll hear about the Bhagavatam. Here he's presenting this as the essence of Shastra Seva is to serve the Bhagavatam, and such fantastic results will occur. If they're not, then we have to keep serving the Bhagavatam, keep studying it, keep hearing it, and keep distributing it. If we have that Seva to distribute, and we are distributing. Any Vaishnava is a distributor of Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is philosophy, but philosophy is something you wear. Philosophy translates into behavior. So the Bhagavad philosophy is prem dharma. What is Bhagavad philosophy? Bhagavad philosophy is prem dharma. Prem is action. Prem means seva. So prem means behavior, isn't it? Love means behavior. So when he has realized the teachings of the Bhagavad philosophy, then he's distributing the Bhagavatam by his behavior. He's distributing the Bhagavatam by his loving dealings and loving actions with others. So this is, and by distributing this prem, then he's distributing ras. So this is what he's saying, that when it was felt, so we prayed to Vyasadeva, please, you bless me that I'm attached, that my rati, that I have Bhagavad rati, Bhagavad Katha rati, that I have attachment. You're saying that this will happen. one will feel so much satisfaction and fulfillment. He will experience Krishna's beauty, sweetness, and charm in the Bhagavatam, especially in Dasama Skanda, that he will lose all rati for everything. He will get ruchi, rati, and bhava, and prema. Everything will come from the Bhagavatam. So that's the end of today's discussion. Tomorrow is about serving Mathura.